Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in. And now, on to the KevCast.
Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I am your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back to another episode. So glad you are here. Welcome to Sunday. Today, I hope this podcast challenges your thinking a little bit, kind of prods your mind, helps you access a very different place. The topic I'm talking about today is called elusive peace. Elusive peace, meaning we all really want a sense of peace in the world, in our own personal lives, a sense of being, but it seems to be elusive. People seem to be wanting it, but not having it. And I think peace on the larger global scale is certainly not possible until we have it on a smaller personal scale. We can't be at peace with each other if we're not at peace with ourselves. And that's certainly true. And so I want to talk a little bit about this. And, you know, the things I'm going to share with you today are not groundbreaking, perhaps, for some of you, but they're vital. They're vital. So much of the things I talk about seem like, you know, they don't register as, you know, something major on the impact scale. But they are. And the reason that they are is because they are of something other. They're of a different kind. And when we understand this, we gain something new. And I hope that this podcast today gets you into that place. So let's get started. And like I said, our world struggles to find peace. I mean, if we do obtain a measure of peace, it's usually in small doses, like receiving a massage or some rare moment of quiet. You know, for some, peace just cannot be experienced so long as the world is full of injustice, full of tragedy, full of suffering. Some people just personally take on the pain of the world and they just can't be at peace. Now, when it comes to peace, we know that our pastors and our priests, our imams, our gurus, they're all offering a path to peace, aren't they? And yes, people find peace through the various things that they offer. But we also know that there's always a catch. If you're going to get peace from a religious delivery system, then we have to buy their program. You have to sign up for their coaching. You have to go to the weekly services or programs. And this would be okay if there was a measurable difference between the outsiders and the insiders. You know, I mean, if all the people who went to church were super peaceful people, that would beg the question. But what you have when you enter the church is you have a lot of people who still lack peace. They're not peaceful at all. Are there people in there that do have peace? Yes. It's the same in every institution, and it's the same outside of those institutions. And so the difference doesn't really prove out. And so for most of us, peace will come in little bits here and there, but then it fades away. Right? Isn't that your experience? I know that that's been mine. And there's something about that ebb and flow that is actually okay. Right? I don't know that it's perfectly sustained ever at a high place, but it can be sustained at some level. So is peace supposed to be like a tire with a slow leak? I mean, are we supposed to just limp along between service stations that fill us up? Does living in peace mean that we have to unplug and disengage from a high stress environment? I mean, some people say that, you know, that's how peace happens, when you get away from it all. Isn't that what we do when we go on vacation and we go to the mountains or we go to the ocean. We just take a break. We're trying to find a moment of peace. But, you know, if peace is promised via, you know, a framework of belief, then I'm sorry to say it's not going to be a lasting peace. It's going to be short-lived. I mean, think about my question. Does living in peace mean that we have to disengage? I mean, are those who meditate really more peaceful? Yes, in some cases. In some cases, no. And Scripture tells us that God gives peace that surpasses understanding. That's in Philippians 4:7. But does that mean that only Christians have peace? I've heard people say that. The only people who have real peace in the world are Christian believers. Is that really true? Would you be able to convince a monk sitting high atop the Himalayas that that's true? You know, I hope these rhetorical questions help us gain some insight. But the point I'm trying to drive at here is that if you get peace from a framework, then it'll probably be short-lived. So this is your clue to try and dial in and understand the frameworks that you access for peace. So if our fundamental mode of operation is just tell me what I got to do to be at peace and then I'll do it, then we are already setting ourselves up to be consumed by the countless systems out there that promise peace by selling us our life's software. I mean, do you realize that? You're getting software coded into you by all the different systems that you participate in. So if peace is external, then it's impossible, given the state of the world, right? And if humanity, if peace is a moral exchange, then it's only as good as your last repentance, and so is mine. If peace is some spiritual plateau, then it's only possible for those who master ritual and practice. You see, the problem isn't the software that the systems are putting in you. It's the hardware. Our anthropology, the way we view our own humanity, is actually bifurcated. It's split. You see, folks, peace is not up there. Peace is not out there. It's not even in there. Peace is only here. Peace is only now. Lasting peace, then, is found in the flow of the eternal moment. The only place you can find peace is in the present moment. And I think that's what we're trying to do when we go out and take a break. We just try and recenter ourselves, be present in the moment, in our body, in our breath, in our breathing, with the sun shining, whatever it is. We're trying to access that. And if it's going to last, we have to somehow bring the moment of now. Nowness has to be a part of our daily rhythm. You see, peace is elusive because we can't or we won't fully be here now. And why won't we? Well, we fear the sobriety of being. Now, this may not make sense right now to you, but hear it and see if it can resonate or put it on a shelf for later. We do fear the sobriety of being. We're so much happier in our doing. You see, the anesthesia of our life numbs us to presence, to being present, and to the presence. See, we're all victim to the gravitational pull of either the future or the past. And so deep in our heads, in our lives, we're stuck chasing after that thing that we want in one day land, which is living in the future. Or we're running and running and running away from that thing that haunts us behind us, that's living in the past. And if you stay under anesthesia too long, we become like Rob Bell describes as either bored or cynical. And this is a key for us to help us with peace, because when you're bored or cynical, it's actually you concluding that there's nothing interesting or new to create here. Nothing new or interesting to create. You see, while peace is a byproduct of our being, being in the present, right? Just being who we are. It's not just a doing thing. It's not distinct from our doing, right? It's not distinct from our divine creative impulse. Peace is experienced as the satisfaction of knowing ourselves and our role in creating. Both are integral to peace. You have to know yourself, and you have to know what your role is in creation. You may not even see yourself as having a role in creation and being a creative person, but you are. You see, peace is the alignment of our being and our doing. These are not two separate operating systems. They are two dimensions of the same life. See, once you separate them, our religions will try and pull us out of our life, right? We want to get you out of your life and into this spiritual place. While your ambitions are going to try and put you back into your life. Well, get that life coach who's going to ramp you up and detail your life and help you accomplish all your dreams. You see, in both cases, you detach from both sides. And detachment is what we call a loss of peace, a loss of shalom. And so my definition of peace is that it is an integral, multidimensional flow. An integral, multidimensional flow. Integral means it's little pieces fold together into a whole, and it's multidimensional. See, we don't find peace. And we can't find peace. You can't go after something and have it be given to you. You see, we enter it. We join peace. We've been going about it all wrong. So answer this question. Are you detached from your divine creative impulse? Do you even know what it is? If so, then peace is obtained through reattachment or re-entering the flow, the divine flow of your creative impulse. This is where you find out who you are and what you do, what you give away. You give yourself away. But this time, you know, you can kind of see that if it's about re-entering, if it's about reattachment, all the messages of the pastors and gurus and imams start making a little bit of sense. Because that's what they're really asking you to do. Come out of the world and reattach over here. Reattach into this system. But now, because I spent the time helping you see the system, you can recognize the difference between attachment to a delivery system and attachment to the divine source. And I think our world is really catching on to this. The whole movement of spiritual but not religious defines this very reality. You see, one is a framework, the other is flow. And peace does not come from frameworks. Peace comes from flow. And God is flow. You see, spiritual frameworks and practice are good. They point us to sacred space, and they can point us to the path to re-enter flow. But they are a means to an end. They are not the end in themselves. And so many times we're sold, just start doing these things, say these prayers, give this money, join this Bible study, go out and feed the hungry, go out and do this, you know, good thing, and you're going to find peace. And you'll find some measure of it, but it'll be short-lived. You'll be the deflating tire. You see, spiritual frameworks and practice help us, but they're a means to the end. They're not the end. And we can actually avoid spiritual frameworks altogether and just go out and pursue our dreams apart from any religious framework. But that too is a means to an end and not an end in itself. You see, people all over the world never satisfies once they get to the top of their ladder. See, there is no flow of peace without unifying both your being and your doing. Not by camping on one side or the other. It's, you can't just be a doer. You can't just be a beer. And you see everybody, not everybody, but you see these really strong polarities saying, come over here and be a doer. Come over here and be a beer. You know, James said it this way. He said, faith without works is dead. in James 2:17. They have to go together. And they're tied to your divine impulse. You have to create. So true peace is not out there. It's not one day. It's not hope to get it maybe one day in the future. It's right here, as it says in Luke 17. It's right here in the midst of us. It's among us. We have to just join it. It begins in the small, honest, and secure acceptance of what is right now. We have to own the mess. We have to own it all. You see, accepting what is now is how you get to peace. It's not fixing everything that is now and wrong that creates the peace. You have to enter peace now, accepting everything as it is. Peace is lived when we see ourselves as we are. Do you see yourself as both having a shadow self and a true bright light? These two completely opposite forms are working together inside of you? Or do you just kind of camp out on one? Do you think you're way better than you really are and you just think you're all light? Or do you think you're way worse than you really are and just think you're all darkness? You see, we have to be at peace with who we are. This dichotomy is part of the beautiful design. It's not an accident that we have to eradicate and cut out of our lives. Peace is when we drop that stone that we would cast at ourselves because we finally believe that we have no accusers. Are you there yet? Who's accusing you? Who's throwing the stones? Is it you? You see, peace, when you get there, it doesn't have to be despite the bad. It's along with the bad. Peace is sustained when we give ourselves to our tiny little corner of the world, and we bring forth the unique and imperfect gift that is us. This, my friends, is peace. And may you join all of its dimensions now, so that you can give yourself away.
Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.